Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here at the church, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, the lead minister here at the church. I am white, in my early 60s, and my pronouns are he, him. So it is especially a joy to be with you today for our annual no-rehearsal Christmas pageant service. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the congregation. If you're joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you're watching the service. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour after worship. Either way, we invite you to go to austinuu.org, click on worship, and then scroll down to the link for our online visitor form. We would love for you to fill that out so we can get to know you just a little bit better. Here we welcome everyone, every beginning in path, every beautiful expression of human flowering, all pronouns, all the ways and ones we love, all abilities and disabilities, each and every one of you. You are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of sensing that an ocean of divine love flows through each of us. It's in this tradition that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either by turning to those around you here at the church or in the comments online.
Hello again. I'm Margaret Borden, your lay leader this morning. Please join me in the words by which we light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is "What Are You Here For?" by Quinn G. Caldwell. If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing. And goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all. And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you could have dinner. But if you came because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, If you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift, doing stuff you'd rather not do, might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bed, would. If you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands, and that they might be able to show you God. If you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants. If you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people, and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world. If you came for a story of reversals that might end up reversing you. If you came for a tale of adventure and bravery, where strong and gentle people win, and the powerful and violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives, and the poor are raised up like kings. If you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged. If you came to follow the light, even if it blinds you. If you came for salvation and not safety, then, my friends, you are in the right place.
Good morning. Good morning. And happy solstice, everyone. I'm Reverend Carrie Holly Hurt. I'm your assistant minister here. I'm a white woman in my late 40s with purple glasses, a blue robe, and a red stole, and I use she, her pronouns. One of the things that keeps us together when we have no common deity is that we have a common purpose, and that common purpose is our mission, which we write together, and we wrote it, we put it on the wall so that we could say it together, so that we could carry it throughout our week and our lives. Let's say it together now. Together, we nourish souls and transform lives and do justice to build the beloved community.
Christmas time. We traveled in a one-horse open sleigh. Now that it's Christmas time.
Two, three, four.
I have a story for us today that is from the Bible. I think a lot of us have probably heard of the Bible. Yeah. So the Bible is actually a book that's made up of a bunch of different books. And this particular story is from the book of Matthew. And it is about when Jesus was born. So it goes like this. A long, long time ago, there were some magi. And magi are priests, specifically from the Persian Empire. These magi, they noticed a star in the sky. And they studied the night sky every night. They knew all about it. So they knew that this star told them that the king of the Jewish people had been born. They got really excited about this. This was very exciting news. And so they set out to follow that star so they could meet this new king and worship him. These priests, these magi, they ride a long, long way, and they end up in a much smaller country. They assume that they need to go to the current king of this country because one would think that's where the new king would be born. But when they go to the king, King Herod, and they tell him, "We're here to see the new king who was just born." He smiled and was like, "Oh, good to know, good to know." But he was not happy. No, he liked his power. He liked being king. And he did not like the idea of a new king being born to come and take his throne. Even though the new king is still a brand new baby, he still feels very threatened by this. So, he knows that the magi would only come if they knew for sure that this was a very special baby. So he believes them. He thinks that this baby is the Messiah. He calls all of his priests and teachers together and asks them, "Where is this Messiah meant to be born? Huh? Where is this kid?" And they tell him, "Bethlehem in Judah." This is what their prophet had written. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So King Herod, he secretly goes to the Magi and he tells them to go find this baby in Bethlehem. He even acts like he's very happy about this. He's like, "Yes, go find this baby, bring this baby to me so that I can worship him too. Go and search very carefully, go find him. Come back to me and tell me all about it." He was not really planning on worshiping this child, though. He did not have good intentions, we'll say, for our new baby Messiah. So the Magi, they go off to Bethlehem, where the Messiah was told to be born, and they see the star, that special star that they knew told them that the baby had been born over this place. And that is where the baby is. It led them to him. They're so, so happy, and they bring the baby gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were very important to the people back then. But then, before they're about to head back, they have a dream that tells them, maybe we shouldn't tell King Herod where this baby is after all. Maybe we keep that information to ourselves. So they go a different way home and leave King Herod none the wiser. So that is the beginning of the story that our pageant today will tell us. We're all going to go back to our seats for now, wait for the pageant to start, and we will come up as our roles.
Our reading is The Innkeeper by Anne Dillon Schneider. The innkeeper isn't part of most nativity sets. No one sings carols about innkeepers. There doesn't seem to be any paintings that include them. But we can imagine the scene. Bethlehem is crowded with people coming home for the census. It's late at night when the innkeeper responds to a knock on the door and finds a young couple standing there. The woman is very pregnant. She and her spouse look exhausted. They walked 100 miles over rough, rocky terrain to get here from Nazareth. The innkeeper is confronted with a dilemma. The inn is full. There just isn't any more room. At the same time, the innkeeper knows that offering hospitality is part of being God's people, because they had been sojourners and strangers in Egypt. That's why the innkeeper always makes sure there's an empty chair for an unexpected guest at the annual Seder meal celebrating Passover. What to do? As a child, the innkeeper had learned the story of Abraham and Sarah welcoming 3 strangers into their home. After they made the strangers a lavish feast, the couple discovered that their guests were messengers, angels, sent to bring great news. As laughable as it seemed, the elderly Sarah was going to have a baby. So the innkeeper knows the tradition of entertaining strangers. The innkeeper knows strangers are messengers, angels, from God. Tonight, there is a bedraggled and weary couple on this very doorstep. What to do? The innkeeper pulls the door to a bit, hastily assessing the situation. Is there space anywhere? The beds are all taken. There are even people sleeping on the floor. What to do? Is there any possible solution? In a moment of inspiration, the innkeeper remembers the stable out behind the inn. It's not much, but it's some protection from the wind. No matter how bitter the weather may become, the heat from the animals will keep these guests warm. The innkeeper flings open the door and welcomes the couple with a broad smile. There's not much, but there's a possibility, a stable. Will it suffice? It does. And the innkeeper saves the day.
Now let us center ourselves in the spirit of the season together. Please join me in this spirit of prayer and meditation. Spirit of love and life, as we traverse this holiday season, filled with so many holy days and observances for so many faith traditions, fill us with the fierce love and joy and peace so much of this season symbolizes. Let us also remember and hold tenderly, though, those for whom this season is difficult. May we carry the promise of new life, new love, and new possibility we celebrate today throughout all of our days. Amen. Now let us share a time of music and sacred quiet together, all the while remembering we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. As we enter this time, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, as well as those who are celebrating joys. Today we especially hold in our hearts and loving memories church member Scott Budke as we approach the anniversary of his death 1 year ago. Let us also hold all who mourn Scott, including so many of us here this morning. Today, I light our pulpit candle in memory of Scott and for all those he worked so tirelessly to make sure they were never left out, never forgotten. Now let us enter the meditative quiet as our music plays, and let us hold that meditative quiet throughout, including when our music comes to an end. Thank you.
The season of the winter solstice has been celebrated in one form or another for thousands of years. 100 different cultures have told stories of how the birth of their gods took place at this time of year. In the Northern Hemisphere, we tell stories about how light, hope, and life are returning to the world. Darkness is good for rest and root growth, but we also need light for growth and for setting a direction to go in. So, while we revere darkness, we humans also celebrate light. Today, we will present the Christian faith story, as Christianity is one of the sources of our UU faith. It is the story of a special baby, a child of God, as all babies are, a child called Jesus, who became one of humanity's great teachers. As UUs, we know that we do not have to believe the stories of our sacred texts in a literal sense to embrace the metaphorical wisdom that they bring to us. In this way, we are able to reclaim such stories and retell them in ways that reflect our living tradition, for which revelation is not sealed.
Here is the Christmas story. It happened a very long time ago in a land far away. A couple named Joseph and Mary had to make a journey to the city of Bethlehem because there was a new law that said everyone had to return to the city of their birth in order to pay their taxes. Mary and Joseph, please walk around searching for a place to stay. Innkeeper, please come on up.
Joseph was worried about Mary taking this trip as she was going to have a baby very soon. But Mary wanted to be with her husband for the birth of their child. It was a long trip to Bethlehem, 3 full days of walking. Mary was glad when they could see the rooftops of Bethlehem in the distance. "Joseph," she said, "let's stay at the first inn we come to. I think our baby's almost ready to be born." But when they got to Bethlehem, they found the little town crowded with people. They stopped at the first inn they came to and knocked on the door. But the innkeeper told them, "I'm sorry, there's no more room here." At the next inn, the innkeeper said, "We're full. Try a place over there, it's bigger." Joseph tried another place and another place, but everywhere it was the same story. "Sorry, no room for you here."
Finally, when it was almost night, they saw a house at the edge of town with a light in the window. Joseph of the divine socks knocked at the door and told the innkeeper, "Please help us. We need a place for the night. My wife is going to have a baby soon, and I don't think she can travel any farther." And the innkeeper said, "There's no room in the inn, but don't worry, we'll find some place for you." The innkeeper showed Mary and Joseph to a quiet little barn where the animals were. It was clean and warm and smelled like sweet hay.
And on that very night, in the barn in Bethlehem, their little baby was born. They named him Jesus. Mary and Joseph wrapped him in soft swaddling clothes and made a little bed for him to lie in. That night, like every night, there were shepherds in the field outside of Bethlehem watching the flocks of sheep. The shepherds were so surprised and amazed by a very bright light in the sky. And a strange song was coming out of nowhere and everywhere all at once. It was angels, and they were glorious. The angels went to see the baby born in the stable in the city of Bethlehem to tell him hello, and what a beautiful baby.
After the angels had gone away and the rock concert had gone into intermission, the shepherds remembered what the angels had said, that a wonderful baby had been born and that they could find him by following the brightest star in the sky. So the shepherds all said to each other, "Let's go look for that baby. Shepherds, please go look for baby Jesus and say hello." They had no trouble finding the stable because of the bright star. And sure enough, There inside were Mary and Joseph watching over their little baby Jesus. And the shepherds saw that Jesus was just stunning. Everyone say together very quietly, "Oh, what a beautiful baby. What a beautiful baby." Then the shepherds went away and told everyone what they had seen. On the same night, three wise ones saw the bright star and said to each other, "Look at that amazing star. It must be shining for something very special." The wise ones loaded up their camels with treasures and traveling supplies and followed the star all the way to Bethlehem. Jesus was very young when the wise ones found him, but they knew he was special. "What a wonderful child. This child will be our teacher," they said. And they gave their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and other gifts useful for babies.
Mary and Joseph wondered for a long time about all these things that happened when their child was born. "It's astonishing that all these people would come to see our baby and give us presents for him. They don't even know him." Well, when Jesus grew up, he was a courageous teacher, just like the wise ones said. And one of the most important things he tried to teach people was to love each other and to treat all people, even strangers, with kindness and care. People have tried to follow his best teachings to become better people and have spread light through their world, which is what we are here to do. Today, on this solstice, we shared the Christmas story about one special baby. But this baby is not the only special one. Every child is a treasure, a wonder, and a miracle. And as they grow up, they are always a treasure, a wonder, and a miracle. I invite you now to say these words with me. "For so the children come, and so they have been coming, always in the same way they come, born of the seed of life. Each night a child is born is a holy night. Parents sitting beside their children's cribs feel the glory in the sight of a new life beginning. Each night a child is born is a holy night. A time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping."
Please join me in the words by which we extinguish our chalice. "We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again."
As we leave this sacred and fun time of holding on the shortest day of the year, in a season that is often the most, may we remember that we can choose joy, we can make hope a discipline, we can find our peace, and we can practice faith in one another and in ourselves. And may you always remember that you are held by love and by this community. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.